Welcome to Running on Indy. I'm Jesse Davis.
And I'm Blake Robertson.
Today we're going to do the Heart Rate Training Doesn't Suck If You Do It Right edition of Running on Indy. And we're bringing back Matt Ebersole, both my and Blake's coach. And if you remember, he was in episode 2 for our hardcore fans. So this is our first repeat guest. So, and that was actually about exactly a year ago. It was. Yeah, we're coming up on our 1 year anniversary, so.
Congratulations.
And the fact repeating a guest means we're on our way out, huh?
No way. No, that means that Matt has so much information that we need to bring him back and just share it all. And if you hear us chewing on anything, we have some food in here today that we got from 317 Burger. We go ahead and give them a shout out. So we got some carry out food, and we'll be eating that during this episode.
The original plan was not carry out.
But whatever. It is what it is. It looks delicious. So what'd you get, Blake, to eat?
I got the smashed double cheeseburger, with tots that I've already smashed.
Yeah, you did smash those tots.
So their tots are really good.
Yeah, I got the Strawberry Hill with peanut butter and some kind of hot sauce. It's delicious, actually. I really like that burger and some fries. What'd you get, Matt?
I got the beet salad that looks a whole lot like the chicken quesadilla.
Oh, yeah. Chicken quesadilla beet salad. So you want to do our plug, and then we'll get right into
we'll
heart rate training.
We'll kick off our sponsor. So this episode of Running on Indy is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running Shoes with all the new Spire 3. It's a high-mileage trainer powered by QuickFoam. Check out the new 361 Spire and find out why everyone is switching to QuickFoam. It's available at Runner's Form or at your local retail specialty store.
All right. So let's get right into heart rate training. I know I've had a lot of questions about this topic and throughout my career. And so let's go to the expert, Matt. So
yeah, I struggle with this, so this is something I'm interested in.
Well, first let me say about your sponsor. A year ago, you gave me a pair of 361s.
That's right.
And yeah. I've been in them since. Been through a bunch of pairs of them.
And yeah, Matt loves them.
Which ones are you in?
I'm in the Sensation 2.
Okay.
And I'm still hanging on to the 2 because I loved it.
Yeah.
And so.
It's a great shoe.
They've dialed that one in.
So what is your history with heart rate training, and what do you want to tell us about it?
The reason we've kind of titled this session, Heart Rate Training Doesn't Suck If You Do It Right, is because most people have given it a try, and they were just missing some information, and it just didn't work out, and it didn't seem like it was worth the hassle. So hopefully we'll take care of that tonight. I've been using heart rate since 1988. I was living in Atlanta at the time, and I heard about this running coach, and I thought I'd go visit him because I was out of college, wanted some help with my running. I wanted to work hard, but I wanted to make sure I was getting the most out of the work I was putting into the training. So this is summer in Atlanta. I go meet this guy at his track. He's got his group out there training. And the guys are running without shirts on. I see this chest strap around their body and these watches that were like small TVs. If you remember the early versions of the Garmin, they were kind of that size. And I'm thinking, there's no way I'm doing this. This is crazy. Well, I talked to Coach Benson for about 5 minutes. I'm not even sure what all he said, but at the end he said, Matt, I know what the hell I'm doing. I can help you. So the next week I'm out there wearing this heart rate monitor because he was the pioneer in heart rate training for runners. And at first, when I started running in it, I felt like I was a kid learning how to drive a stick shift because I'd speed up, slow down, it beep because I was going too fast, too slow. And it didn't take too long before I realized, okay, this thing's going to beep because I've sped up a little bit too much. I'm working a little too hard. And eventually, I could stop that from happening and dial into an effort and stay where I needed to be. And with using heart rate, I was training, I felt a whole lot easier than I did in college when I was banging my head against the wall, and I was running faster. It doesn't take too much to sell me beyond, I feel like I'm not working as hard and I'm actually racing faster. Pretty good deal. So I started using heart rate in 1988. When I started my coaching business in 1991, I've used that with my runners ever since.
Okay. Well, Matt, why use a heart rate? What's the why even use it? What's the benefit of it?
Heart rate gives us kind of an inside look at your physiology and how hard your body's working. Most people are familiar with the VO2 max test, whether they've had one done or not. You get on a treadmill, they hook you up, they plug your nose, they're measuring inspired, expired air. They put you on a treadmill and gradually turn it up until you're running to death's doorstep. And when you are about to fly off the back, that is when you reach your VO2 max. And that VO2 max tells us how much oxygen you can consume per minute per kilogram of body weight. Now, the important thing about that is obviously that's not a practical way to run every day. But heart rate has a real strong correlation to VO2. And at every percentage of VO2, we know what physiological adaptation is going to occur in your training. So if we want to build economy, we know where to dial in the heart rate. We want stamina, we know where to dial in the heart rate. So it's just that correlation to it. And you can put it on a heart rate monitor and take a look, and you know just as accurately as if you're on a treadmill measuring all that with all that very expensive prohibitive equipment what you're doing. So it gives us a great look. It's the most black and white physiological number that you can get while you're running.
And so what is the, you mentioned VO2, what's the correlation with heart rate to VO2? Did you cover
well,
that?
There's a, and here's where we start getting in trouble is with the numbers. Some will go out and they'll get a heart rate monitor, they're all excited about it. And they go out and they're looking down at a number and they're not quite sure what that number means. Well, somebody told me I should do this at 160 beats a minute or whatever it is. Well, that's very individual to the people, to the individual person. So if we know what that maximum heart rate is, which can be found when you hit that VO2 max, or you can go out and run a 5K, and if you're going all out at the end, you're going to be pretty darn close, and you see what that maximum heart rate number is. And then we need to know what your resting heart rate is. That step makes it even closer correlation to VO2. So if we have your maximum heart rate, how hard can I go? And then your resting heart rate, how much can I relax and still be conscious? If you have those two numbers and then take percentages of those and add back your resting heart rate, it's called the Carbonin formula. If you use that, we are dialed in very closely to VO2 percentages.
Now, if somebody wanted to start training with a heart rate, they bought a heart rate watch, obviously they come now, which we'll talk about later. With the wrist one, which you're not a big fan of, I know. But let's say they buy the wrist one, and then they also buy the strap.
Yeah.
How would they, and let's say they're, I don't know, my age, I'm 38, going on 39.
Yeah.
How would they determine their numbers for their particular body?
The first thing I'd have somebody do is go out and get comfortable with it. It's kind of like when you first get your first GPS watch or a new one that's got new features to it. You just want to go out and use it and get comfortable with it. Because the last thing we want to do is go out and try to use some numbers and you're not quite sure what you're doing with the watch. So use it, take a look at some numbers. Don't speed up or slow down because of them. Just go out and run, take a look at them, do your download. We can kind of take a look at some numbers. And then what we want to do is either in a workout or in a race, and I prefer races because there's that extra psych that you get from that competitive situation to push yourself a little bit harder. Obviously, we want to make sure that pushing yourself to the maximum effort is a good idea for you. Consult your doctor and whatever other waivers we need to get signed here. And then go out and see how high you can get that thing. And then we'll do the math. We'll get the resting heart rate. We'll do the math. We'll come up with the numbers. And from there, we can start checking our math. Because I've had people go out and they tell me, well, I was running at 90% and it was real comfortable. Well, that wasn't 90%.
Yeah.
90%
that's
not
the definition of 90%.
At all. So basically, if somebody tells me, you know, I felt pretty good and I got to this point and then I started really getting hard. Mm-hmm. I know generally that's about 85% for most people, where it goes from comfortably hard to dear God, make it stop. That's basically threshold. And for a lot of people, that's going to be around 85%. So if those numbers kind of jive with that, then we know we have pretty good numbers.
So a typical person's marathon pace, what percentage would that be? If you're running a marathon.
Generally, I would tell somebody that's going to be 80%.
80%?
But that's assuming somebody is trained well enough to actually run 26.2 miles rather than survive it
and have to
go in survival mode. So world-class runners, they might be closer to 85%.
Okay.
Really, really good runners are between 80-85%. They're really good you know, local runners are going to be around 80%. And somebody going out just hoping to finish the thing, they're probably going to be closer to 70%, maybe even below that.
So the one thing that I always hear a big buzzword with heart rate training is zones. Can you explain a little bit about heart rate zones and what that means?
Well, here's how you can tell somebody's a running coach or triathlon coach. And I pretend to be a little bit of both. I'm truly a run coach and coach some triathletes. But if it's a triathlon coach, they'll say you should be in zone two. You'll never hear me say that.
Okay.
I will always say you should be at 75% or 80% or whatever the
percent is. So that's what you use instead of zones. Okay.
Yeah. Because it's more specific. I can dial it in. I'm not, if I want it to be 85 to 90%, that's what it is. If I want it to be 85%, that's what it is. So depending on the exact need for the workout, we can dial that into a few percentage points. And then
so it's just a little more specific when you do percentages.
Yeah. And most watches, you can push that over to where it's actually telling you percentage rather than a number. And if that's easier for somebody to deal with. The other night, and I think you guys might have done this workout, we did a progression run of different percentages. And I went out and I knew my heart rates. And I know that every 5% for me is 7 beats. So it's kind of easy to keep in mind, but it is can be very confusing. If you just switch it over, okay, this one's at 80%, this one's at 85%, this one's at 90%, it makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes total sense.
So I struggle with this, Matt. You know, being my coach.
Blake struggles with something. Newsflash.
Yeah. I'm learning. I'm still learning because it just... You'll give me a workout, and like, for example, tomorrow I got 3 mile, 2 mile, 1 mile. And you'll say, all right, do the X amount at the 3 mile at 80%, whatever, 75%. And it irks me to no end because I don't know what that is. And I'm like, give me paces so I can target the paces. But when you give me paces, that is my problem. Because I will go after that pace, whether it's 200 degrees outside or whether it's 20 degrees. So I guess...
Definitely shouldn't run if it's 200 degrees.
Yeah. Well, and this is not leading to a question, but I'm just telling you that I struggle with it.
I think it was 200 degrees at Fort Bend last weekend.
Yeah, it was.
It felt like it. Might it as well was, then.
I struggle with that, and I'm trying to, and it's hard for me, and I guess you can kind of talk about this as a runner, for like myself, to when you say 75%, like, to me, what is that telling me?
Let me give you the 25-cent answer to that, so the 10-cent answer to that.
All right.
The full explanation of that is training boils down to stress and rest. And people that I coach right now can fast-forward this podcast because they've heard this before.
But don't do that.
We might tell a joke somewhere.
Yeah. We got funny stuff coming up.
So training boils down to stress and rest. And if you get that balance right, your body does beautiful things for you. If you don't, you either don't get better or you break down. So it's pretty important we learn how to manage stress and manage effort, right? So any way that you can think that you can manage or think about running effort, there's a problem with it. So that's why we have an effort dashboard. One of those is pace. But we know pace on a 90-degree day, 90% humidity, you can be working a whole lot harder and be running a whole lot slower. So we can't just use pace. We have perceived exertion, which is a great way to keep you from killing yourself because you know, should this feel hard, should this feel easy? But it's kind of ambiguous. If I go out and say, run this hard, well, that's a pretty big area, pretty big range. Mm-hmm. And then also when you get in a race and you have a lot of adrenaline going, you have no perceived exertion until it's a little bit too late.
Yep.
We have respiratory rate, how fast are you breathing, which is probably the most foolproof way to measure effort, but you can't really count it. You'd be spending every second of every run just counting how many breaths you take. So until a watch comes out to do that. But you know, if you and I are running together, yeah, pipe dream for me. But if you and I are running together and I'm breathing twice for every time you take a breath, you know I'm hanging on for dear life. Okay. And you can kind of think about your own breathing that way. Am I breathing too hard for how far I have to go?
So if I'm running with Jesse, I can't, he's talking to me and I can't talk back. I'm working a little bit too hard.
Yeah, you got to push them into the canal or whatever. Yeah.
Which is typically the, you know, it's, if you're running with me, you're probably running too hard.
Then we have muscular tension. How tired are your legs? How much stress are your leg muscles under? And then we have heart rate. And if we kind of use all of those, and when you get good at it, it's like a background program on your computer to where you're constantly processing those without having to really focus too much on it. So when you go out and I say 85%, we know 85% for you right now is probably 540, 545, somewhere in there, depending on how far we go. If we do 3 miles, yeah, you should be able to hold that maybe a little faster. If we're going 10 miles at 85%, that pace may vary a little bit.
I got you.
And I'll leave the concept of steady state alone for now, but that would explain why that doesn't vary as much as you would expect it would.
Okay.
So what I want, and what I did for that workout that I mentioned a few minutes ago, where we did 3 miles at marathon pace, 2 miles at half marathon pace, and a mile at 10K pace in certain percentages, is I went in and I wrote down before the workout, here's what heart rates I want, here's what paces I'm expecting to run with a little bit of a range, and writing them down kind of internalized it. So when I went out to do the workout, I had a pretty good idea where I wanted to be. So we just need to do a better job, you and I, assigning, okay, here's kind of a pace for what we expect. And I updated your plan today, and I actually put that in a couple of workouts. So
I haven't looked at it yet. But I know tomorrow I got the 3-2-1.
Yeah,
thing, but
hopefully that helps.
Matt, what are some of the problems with heart rate training?
I guess you can talk about the real stuff too.
We have three general problems with heart rate, and obviously I'm here as a proponent and a big fan of heart rate training. But here are the problems. One is the first one that I see is bad math. If you're running percentage of a number that isn't actually 100%, then we have a problem. You're always going to be running too hard or too easy. 220 minus your age is the best formula I know of, but it's a bell curve. So if it doesn't fit you, you're never training hard enough. Or on the other end of the bell curve, you're always training too hard and you're breaking down, or it running just no fun because everything's too hard. So we have to get that good maximum number, whether it's we actually saw it on your monitor or we predict it from how you're feeling at different percentages and your resting heart rate. So the math problem is easily solved. I can't tell you enough, don't go out and speed up and slow down on a heart rate number when you don't know those numbers. Because why are you speeding up, why are you slowing down if you don't know what they mean? So math is the first problem. Second problem is blood volume, basically. So when you get dehydrated, you're losing blood volume. The fluid, the water from blood is reduced, so your heart has to pump faster to deliver the same amount of oxygen to your muscles while you're running. So it's pumping harder, even though your legs still feel fine, your breathing is still okay, and everything is all right. And on those days, if you just recognize it, okay, it's 90 degrees out here, it's 90% humidity, my heart rate's going up, but I feel fine. I might be getting dehydrated. Okay, I can give myself a couple more beats today. Also, I might want to get a drink of water next time I pass a water fountain. So we have that. Also, on a hot day, blood is redistributed closer to the surface of the skin to help cool you. So that kind of does the same thing. So on warm days, you can probably give yourself a little bit of a few extra beats. And I did have somebody a few years ago that figured that out, and he would do his hard workouts at noon in the summer because he said, I didn't have to work as hard. My heart rate got in the zone so much faster. Okay, that's not the point. But, you know, people figure out a way. Right?
It's still torture, though.
Yeah.
I have a question for you. So you talked about, you know, the whole the point of running is to stress the body recover.
Yeah.
What would be an optimal percent? And you can even use me an example just for our listeners. If I want to do a recovery run, because I know a big problem is most people do their recovery runs too hard.
Yeah.
And easy days are easy, hard days are hard. What would be a zone, or not even a zone, or a percentage of an easy run?
And one thing too, like on top of that, I've noticed people that have tried to do heart rate training on their own, and they end up doing like easy runs way too easy.
Yeah.
So that's
that
like
possible?
The opposite end. Oh, yeah. Like, I know people
that are
like really
about,
good runners that, like,
they're running 9 minute pace.
Yeah, they're running like 9:30, 10 minute miles. And I'm like,
this is somebody that's comfortable at 7 minute
exactly,
pace.
Exactly, yes.
And still feeling pretty
yeah,
good.
Yeah, kind of talk about that because
I've heard that a lot.
Because I hear that too. Like, hey, run 9 minute pace. Well, 9 minute pace is walking yeah. almost.
Yeah. Well, well for you,
for certain people. For certain people. Like, I don't mean to judge. Yeah. But for certain people.
Blake is alienating a ton of people.
I apologize for the 9 minute.
That's
miles.
His shtick. He alienates people. So
I'm just trying. 13 minutes.
No, I'm kidding. I get it. I get it.
That did come across douchey. No, I apologize.
In comparison to what your normal pace is. Okay.
Okay. So what I would tell somebody on an easy day is 60 to 70%. However, I will abandon that pretty quickly. And I guess we could put this under the category. Good timing on asking this question. A little bit of a problem with heart rate. One, I would tell somebody on an easy day, just stay comfortable. If your heart rate's up a little bit, that's okay. As long as your breathing is comfortable, you're comfortable. Because if you just ran a long, hard workout the day before, you're probably not back to full weight. You probably are a little dehydrated. So you probably have an elevated heart rate. But also, I wouldn't try to strive to get to a certain heart rate on an easy day either. Because if your legs are fried, it doesn't matter. It's kind of like the end of a marathon. You can be going incredibly slow at the end of a marathon, but you can't go any faster because your legs are fried.
Yeah.
So I don't want necessarily somebody trying to get up to 70% on an easy day. So stay comfortable. I would probably set some kind of heart rate where you have to reevaluate. Okay, I've just hit 80%. Am I really that comfortable, or am I just trying to get this run over with quickly?
That's a good point.
So stay comfortable, but generally we don't want to go over 70% on a true recovery day. Okay. Now for you, where maybe we do a long run on a Saturday, Sunday's easy, Monday's easy. Monday might be a little bit faster just because you've now had that extra recovery day before we go into a Tuesday. Should I talk about the equipment now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
So I have personal experience with two different companies and their heart rate monitoring. At one point, and a lot of people have tried to enter the market over the last couple of decades I've been doing this. But I started with Polar in 1988. I was loyal to Polar until 2017. And they just made everything difficult as far as syncing to Training Peaks and doing other things that I wanted to do outside of their units. Okay. So I switched to Garmin. And what I quickly found is Polar is the best in heart rate monitoring. Garmin makes everything else so much easier. And the heart rate is okay. It's not as responsive. With Polar, if you change gears and some of the workouts we do 30-60s, where you run 30 seconds at all-out mile pace and jog for 60 seconds, you'll see that heart rate come up and come down quickly. With Garmin, it doesn't respond quite as quickly. But it's good enough.
You mean like just the wrist or with the strap?
With
too?
The chest strap.
With the strap, okay.
The wrist is kind of like, the technology probably has an application somewhere in a gym, somewhere where you're not moving, you're not in sunlight, you're not sweating, but it doesn't have a real good application for actual running in the real world. I would liken it to a speedometer in your car that is consistently wrong. If you're in a 40 mile an hour speed limit and you're going 50, but your speed limit or your speedometer says 40 and you keep getting tickets, I'm not going to use that anymore, right?
Right.
You're going to get that fixed. Same thing with wrist monitoring. Sometimes it works, but I'll look at somebody's download. And one of the benefits I have with this is I see hundreds of downloads every week. And I'll see, and I can usually pick out, oh, they left their chest strap at home today, because that's wrist monitoring, because I can see it just stays there. And the telltale sign is if we do a workout, 1 minute hard, 2 minutes easy. And the 1 minute hard average is the same as the 2 minutes easy average. Or the 2 minutes easy average might actually be a couple beats higher, even though they went from 6 minute pace to 8 minute pace on the recovery jog. It's like, okay, this thing is not working. And then I'll see some people that get stuck at 160, and they're right around 160 for the whole run. The next day they're at 140 for the whole run. It's like, okay, I doubt that happened because that was a similar paced run. So it just doesn't work. You
have to keep it really tight on your wrist.
Yeah. It's kind of the old joke about a broken clock. It's right twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, if we're going to use this, if we're going to put our training decisions in the hands of some numbers, we want to make sure they're right. And it's just, I would love to get rid of the chest strap too. Believe me, it would be really nice not to have to deal with that. But until I can trust the numbers, I would tell you, get a chest strap.
And to be fair with the chest straps, because you got me doing it, I'm not... real consistent with it because I forget it a lot because I'm not used to grabbing it.
Yeah.
But when I can think about it, I keep it. When I can think about it, I can grab it. But
I wear it on my workouts. My easy days, I don't bother.
The soft ones aren't that bad anymore. Before, they used to rub you, but now they got the soft ones, and they're actually not that bad.
Yeah.
When I got my new watch, this does a VO2 max estimate, and the first time I had been wearing the wrist for a while, and the first time I put on the strap, my VO2 max went up like 2 points.
Well, then we're all for it if it went up.
Yeah, it went up.
If it went down, maybe
I put on the strap, though, it went up. Yeah.
That's just good coaching.
What do you think about the VO2 max estimates on these watches?
I haven't really paid much attention to it. The VO2,
I've had it done in a lab, and this is pretty
similar. Yeah, the VO2 max number, thanks for bringing that up.
Yeah.
VO2 max number doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
To some degree.
So it doesn't factor in economy.
What really matters is how fast did you run to get there?
Yeah.
It is possible that your VO2 max is the same or maybe higher than Kipchoge's. But Kipchoge is going to run a whole lot faster to get to his max. That's the number that matters.
Hmm.
Now,
even though I highly doubt it.
Well,
it's probably got a high VO2.
VO2 max only goes so high, and it could be pretty close. If we line people up and order VO2 max, that's going to give us a rough estimate of how they're going to finish. If we do it in a running economy number, or if we do it just this, what speed did they run to get their VO2 max, and line them up that way, there's going to be very few exceptions in the order of finish.
Yeah. I actually have a really high VO2. I had mine done in East Carolina, and I got the paperwork and everything.
It changes, though.
Well, last time I got it done, I was 76.
They probably messed up.
So, here's the deal, Blake. You never want to tell somebody that because then they think, well, why isn't he running faster? That puts pressure on both of us, man.
My watch estimate's 71.
I was gonna say that. The thing about the VO2 max is if it's really high, you're running like a wuss. If it's really low, you can't do any better. Like you're doing as best you can. But I think Frank Shorter had a really low.
Yeah, that's always low. The classic thing. Yeah. His was. I could be misspeaking here, but I think 57.
It was 57.
Oh, wow.
But he could run a whole lot closer to that for about 2 hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah. Mine's always been like 69 to 71 every time I've gotten
it. I think Lance, they said his was like 83 or something. He's one
cross-country skiers, actually, I think, typically have the highest, but we're digressing.
So it's yeah. How fast can you run at how high of a percentage is really what we're interested in. But
yeah. So VO2 max isn't everything, but...
Well, let's do a quick sponsor real quick.
You did the first one. Let me do this one.
Okay, go ahead. Knock yourself out.
Yeah. This podcast is brought to you by 361 Degrees Running. And just to kind of give you an update of what I've been running in, I've been running in the Meraki. And you've been running in...
The Meraki, too.
The Meraki, yeah. It's a very good shoe.
Actually, three. I alternate depending on the workout, but I'll go from the Meraki to the KGs. I really like that shoe. Back to the Faisu.
Yeah, and then and our guest Matt has already told us that he's been running the Sensations and he loves those. And we were talking earlier before, like legit, when we were waiting for our food that didn't come in time that we just ate. we were talking about that how 361 kind of fits a niche in that.
It's different.
Yeah, they're more responsive than other shoes, whereas other brands are kind of moving towards at least in our opinion, are moving more towards like a real pillow type feel, where this one it's a niche for those runners that kind of want to like feel the ground a little bit more, at least in my opinion. Yeah. I mean, they do have their other, they have their more soft shoes, but...
Well, the one I got on is their soft shoe. Mm-hmm.
The Spire. The Spire is if they want that more plush feel, which they do have a shoe for that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think, like, responsiveness is, like, to me, it means a lot. And we've done really well with it. A lot of runners want that. So, but anyway, let's get back to heart rate training. Yeah. So, what are we at here?
How to actually use it.
Yes, how to use the information that we just gave you. So let's dive into that.
Well, you log into PBT website, you go to PayPal, and you find Matt Imbrosol.
Blake, my work here is done. I can't say any better than that.
I mean, that does work.
Really quick story before we get back to that. I've been paying old school Matt with a check for the past, like, since you've 2010.
You've been paying Matt old school
yeah,
style.
Yeah, with a check. So, yeah.
Yes.
I just found out that he had a PayPal thing that I can do it online now.
Okay. Nice.
First, you got the first payment through.
The way you originally said that, I think you called Matt old school.
No. Well, no. Old school Matt. Was paying.
That's pretty accurate too, probably. So.
Old school Matt.
Old and old school.
Nobody uses checks
he
anymore.
Still uses his original heart rate monitor that's the size of his whole arm.
What to do with it? If you want to try to use heart rate, we talked about getting good numbers and starting there. And then what matters is when you go out to do a workout, knowing what the point is. What do I want to do today? Is today a recovery day? Is today I want to build endurance, the ability to keep going? Do I want to build stamina, the ability to maintain a pace, economy, lower my energy cost of running race pace? Or is it a speed workout? And when you know that, then you can dial into different percentages. Just real roughly, endurance is typically 60 to 75%. Stamina is typically 75 to 85%. Economy is 85, 90%. And speed is typically fast enough and short enough that we don't usually use heart rate to measure it.
Because you're doing all out high enough.
Yeah, if you're doing all out 200, you have two problems. One is you don't have time to be looking down at your watch. You're kind of in a hurry to get this 200 over with. The other thing is there's a little lag in heart rate response. So whatever your heart rate is, and keep this in mind when you do your max test, if you cross that line of the 5K and you were going for all you were worth, keep an eye on that watch because it might go up a beat or two after you cross the finish line and stop because of heart rate, the lag in heart rate response. So keep an eye on that if you do hill repeats to get your max or whatever you do. So if you can dial in those numbers, then it becomes pretty easy to get the training effect you want. When it comes to racing, and this is something that maybe Blake and I need to talk about a little bit. If you say, okay, I'm going to run a half marathon. I know I want to average about 85%. For the first 3 to 5 miles, I want to make sure I'm nice and under control. Maybe I try to stay closer to 80%. Okay, I'm nice, controlled. I feel good. I can maintain that pace now. It's going to take a little bit more effort. Now I'm maybe 85% for the next 5 miles. And the last 5K, I feel so good I can't stand it. I'm going to be cranking the rest of the way. I might be 90% for that last 5K, just reeling people in faster than I can count them. So you can have a race plan that's based somewhat on heart rate. But again, we don't want to throw everything else out either. We mentioned Fort Bend. It was a little more humid than would be ideal for a half marathon this past weekend. And with that, we knew heart rate was going to climb. So with that, you'd have to say, okay, I'm going to keep this under control, even though my heart rate's going up.
Yeah.
Okay.
One thing that, if they're still listening at this point, they might've tuned out, but like, what about the runners that aren't doing workouts? Like, can they use heart rate training as well? Like, you know, the ones just go out and run the, like a pace every single time they're not doing like speed work or anything.
Yeah. And there are exercise facilities and business models designed around heart rate that maybe there's a running component to it, but they know kind of the same thing. Here's what we want to do with heart rate.
Yeah.
But also, anybody that's going out to exercise, most people don't have the luxury of just living a life of leisure. If they're going to go out and exercise, they want to make the most of the time that they spend doing it. So if you're going to go out and walk, or you're out walking the dog trying to get a heart rate in, or get a workout in while you're walking the dog, or you're starting a jogging program, whatever it is, if you can kind of keep an eye on heart rate and say, okay, this is the best that I can do for this half hour I have to exercise. I have 10 minutes of warm-up. I have 15 or 20 minutes of a workout, 5-minute cool down. I just made the most of that half hour that I had.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. Yeah.
So, hey.
That wasn't us.
So basically,
that was somebody calling to sign up.
Yeah. Oh man, they're listening to the Facebook Live on the Village Recording Studio. He does the Facebook Live. Brian Wheat of Village Recording does Facebook Live, and so now someone was calling just to sign up for Matt's group.
There you go. So Matt, a little bit off topic. So, what if you were wearing a heart rate monitor while you were making love to your woman?
Oh gosh!
How could you test your VO2 max then?
Oh my goodness!
Well, Blake, I have actually been asked that question before, but not in quite that way. So what I would say,
can you use those numbers?
What I would say is that
wow,
you should be more concerned about her heart rate than your heart rate.
Ah, good point.
To be a considerate lover, so I'll let you.
Good point.
Nice. I was wondering where you were going with that. We never know where Blake's gonna go when he starts going down like off topic.
And you don't want the heart rate to get too high too soon.
So make your woman wear a heart rate monitor so you can kind of see what's going on.
Oh, man. I'm going to leave that one alone.
I'm out.
Matt's going to be referring clients to this. But so, Matt, is there anything we haven't touched on with heart rate that you want to...
Or anything you want to tell anyone?
If not, you can plug personal best training again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's... Part of what I do is I'd like to think... And you guys can...
You crunch the numbers for people.
You guys can say whether or not I do this well. As a coach, I try to combine the art and the science. Because if you get too stuck on the science and the physiology of it, it doesn't work. If you get too stuck on just doing it by feeling, and this is the way we used to do it back in the day, it doesn't work as well. So I try to combine both. So people that I coach... I try to offer the scientific side of things. Here's how we can measure some things, but also there's the art to it. And I would try to blend that even with heart rate training. Here's what the numbers are. Here's what we can do. Let's go out and run a workout this way. Let's race this way. And then come back, give me feedback, and we can fine tune it as we go.
Yeah, you got to use all the tools in the toolbox.
I'll say a big benefit of working with Matt at, and Jesse can test this, is you make it easy. So you can shut off your brain, open up the app.
Mm-hmm.
What do I got to do today? 8 to 10. Boom. I don't have to think about it. I can just open my app up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like Jesse, I'll say, hey, man, let's meet for a workout. He's like, what are we doing? I'm like, I don't know. He never knows.
Well, I got an app. I can look at it, whatever.
Until we meet at the runner's form normally. So I'll meet him at the runner's form at 7:30, and I'm like, so what are we doing? He still hasn't looked yet. He looks right when he gets
ready.
Well,
as long as I know what I'm doing, I can run.
It is like Christmas Day, and he doesn't want to open that present for this time.
But that's my point. The point is, if someone doesn't want to think about it, you know, they can just... shut off their brain and be like, all right.
Yeah, if I didn't have a coach, I would have to like think about it weeks in advance.
I know.
To plan it out
makes
myself.
It easy. That's what I'm saying.
So that's the biggest benefit. You don't have to think about it at all. And you know you're getting the right stuff.
That's right.
So so if someone wants to reach out to you, how do they get a hold of you?
Personalbesttraining.com.
There you go. That's easy.
Mm-hmm.
Easy enough. And anything else you want to say, Blake? Do you want to do the last plug?
Oh yeah, let's do that.
You go ahead and do it.
Well,
you take this one.
We're gonna close out our podcast today, and thanks to 361 Degrees, powered by QuickFoam. Check out the new 361 performance footwear at Runner's Form or your local run specialty retailer. Me and Jesse both sell 361 shoes, downtown location and the Broward location.
And so if all of our stores, yeah.
All of our stores. But if you're in the Indy area, come downtown. We need you more than anybody. So
no, you don't want to go. Did you just listen to this guy? You don't want to go to him.
But, yeah, so definitely their shoes are awesome. And we would not – we said it once. I'll say it again. We would not wear them if it wasn't worth anything. So definitely awesome. Come in and check us out and at least try them on.
And also make sure to follow us on Facebook. Check us out on Twitter and Instagram. And, that's about it. So once again, just remember to keep running on Indy.